It's hard to know what to do next in the stock market. That's because one expert's rally is another's prelude to a correction.
Of course, people do go both ways.
Each day, the Money Life Market Call brings you a different expert's take on where to invest and what to avoid. Just as important, you'll find out the reasons behind that thinking, and that should make your next financial decisions easier and smarter.
We do have a system, and it works.
It's the Money Life Market Call. Now.
Well, today, actually, we're here to both help you navigate and understand better closed-end funds. And it's not that we don't talk about closed-end funds reasonably often on this show, but it's still one of those things that I know there's a lot of confusion about. That's why I'm particularly pleased to welcome back to Money Life, John Cole Scott, who is the Chief Investment Officer at Closed End Fund Advisors. If you are not familiar with the firm, it is cefadvisors.com. Like it says, they're closed-end fund specialists. So we're pleased to get into that subject. John Cole Scott, welcome back to Money Life.
Thank you so much, Chuck.
Let's talk about methodology with, as we do it, a bit of an understanding as to why you use closed-end funds as opposed to all the other investment options you'd have out there.
Well, really, closed-end funds, in our experience, and I have to preface this, I was born basically owning closed-end funds. My father was on the board of one for 27 years, and they're what became normal, so they became comfortable, and they're what I've learned to try to maximize my focus in. As a relatively mid-sized investment advisory firm, we just conceptually think that closed-end funds, because they have inefficiencies between net asset value, which is the portfolio's worth, and the market price, which is where the portfolio trades and during market hours, really keeps the most big blocks of money away. It's mostly owned by a lot of individual investors and financial advisors and planners. So we felt like it's one area of the capital markets where we can look for good ideas without being just beat by the people with 25 CFAs and 14 Bloomberg terminals. Conceptually, there's 600 funds, about a third muni, about a third taxable bond, and a third equity-focused funds out there.
Now, within closed-end funds, the novice goes in and says, let's go look for big discounts. That's where I want to buy things. But that's not how you do it. You have a very specific methodology. How does it work?
We do. So philosophically, the firm has three kind of legs that the investment has to stand on. One is we do want to make sure we're not paying too much for a fund. There are reasons with a secondary offering or a rights offering or just sentiment change that a premium over 2 or 3% can be eroded very, very quickly. And there are times when a 20 discount is unlikely to ever change. However, we do look for pockets of discounts that we believe are reasonable and could close across the space. So discounts is definitely part of it, about a third of the work that we do. Third of our data collection is on discount-related information. The next part is, because these are actively managed funds, they have investment teams, they make portfolio decisions, we do our best to both understand the sector they're in as well as the manager's relative alpha. Like, is he generally good at buying the things he's mandated to buy, because he does have an expense ratio he has to beat. So we do a lot of different work on net asset value, a performance versus market price. They have a good number of data points to collect on that. Where we do the hardest, and I won't say the most unique work, but where there's a lot more human override to the data, is when we have the data that helps understand the dividend policy. So as your listeners may understand, the board of directors for a closed-end fund sets a policy, often with advisement from the manager, who even sometimes is on the board himself. And then the manager and his team have to go and meet that policy. And little changes are normal. Big changes are painful or bountiful. Depends on if they're big positive changes or big negative changes. So a lot of our data looks at what the manager has to blend to, which if the guts of the portfolio is net asset value, you back out leverage, you kind of know what he has to hit. And then you have to decide, is for that sector, is what he's doing reasonable? You know, people can't just say big yield. Well, they haven't cut their dividend. Yet. So it's data that cuts into that sustainable dividends, reasonable dividends, as well as both good NAV performance and reasonable discounts. Because I think a very cheap fund with bad NAV or dividend change, there's no reason. I mean, maybe the price is already priced in and it's going to stay cheap for a long, long time. So I think you need all three pieces – in the closed-end fund world. And we often tell folks when we lecture, an open-end fund changes distribution policy, and generally speaking, no one cares. A closed-end fund does it, and you can lose big chunks before the open just on sentiment change.
So. Okay. So what areas look particularly good to you right now, and where should people be thinking, here's where I want to be going into closed-end funds?
Well, we're finding some really good values, you know, in some of the equity income. Usually it's a global fund, so there's some U.S., non-U.S., that helps get you a reasonable discount, good NAV performance, distribution rates that are, you know, 5 to 7, which no one should complain about in an equity fund. On the sector side, the place that we have the most conviction right now are master limited partnerships. First of all, conceptually, most of the funds and distributions are return of capital by definition, which means they're long-term tax-deferred vehicles because you only pay the gains when you sell the closed-end fund. Secondly, it's yieldy. It's lower yield in some areas, about 6.5, 6 is a normal yield for an MLP fund. And their market prices are beat up, but their net asset values are strong. So that's one of the metrics we look at is when NAV performance or the guts have far beaten market price performance and there's some sort of discounts, it tells us there's some value, and yet it's not because of just bad sector or poor performance. That's one area we really like. On the bond side, I think that municipal bond funds at a 7 discount, earnings coverages have trended higher, which means they report what they earn versus what they pay. We're at the highest levels we've seen in months. There's another balance sheet item called undistributed net investment income, or UNI or UNI. We look at that trend over time, and it's been growing since last summer to all-time levels in recent times. And to us, a bond fund's job, if you think about it, is it buys bonds, collects an income, and pays it out. And if there's a challenge, those are the two data points that we see it in, and we're not seeing it. Plus, NAV performance is pretty good versus other structures, and you're getting about a 6 and change yield on about a 6 to 8 discount.
What else stands out to you in terms of specific names where somebody might be saying, here's something I want to size up right now?
Okay, sure. So we really like, on the MLP side, MIE, the Cohen & Steers fund. And again, it's a wider discount, a little higher yield. What it really attracted to us is when it turned 11 months old, we felt the discount was wider than normal and that it should recover once it's available with one-year data. There's a funny little enigma in the closed-end fund world. The best entry point from our research is between 7 and 11 months for most funds after IPO. You can still do well with funds that are older, but there's this natural progression once they have a year's worth of progress that really helps drive interest, and it fits more people's data screens, and so there's more potential buying activity.
And let me interrupt here. I mean, sure. When I was writing the Stupid Investment of the Week column, I basically said, if you want to make a dumb investment, buy most closed-end funds at the IPO. That was me for amateur investors, but you're not really buying a lot at the IPO.
We've never bought the IPO.
That's what I
know
thought.
Very few institutions that do, and they do it typically very short-term on deals where there's proven success of premium in the current environment.
So again, that sweet spot, 7 to 11 months out.
It really is. We looked at a lot of history in that, and it comes down to you've got the portfolio engaged by that point. You've got earnings transparency. You've got net asset value performance, but it's before it hits a lot of people's screens. So we've adjusted some of our work to 6-month metrics to help catch these funds and monitor them in that 6 to 9 month window as we look to time our entry. That fund's been very, very positive in our experience. On the equity income side, we like the evaluation of ETV. It's kind of a dividend fund that pays about 6%, but it has that blended good net asset value performance, but not being too expensive. And so you've got both positive trends in the guts, but not too much momentum in the market price. And we feel to hold on to that at about a 6 annualized yield is a very positive way to gain exposure to that market. Other funds might be a covered call fund. The most boring in many senses is FFA because it has such a low yield of only the mid-7s when most of the covered call funds yield between 8 and sometimes 10. But again, it's relatively cheap, 12 discount. It's got good net asset value performance. they haven't done much changes to the policy, but I could see the advisor possibly tweaking the distributions because it's been such good performance. That's my personal guess. I haven't read any press releases. But again, closed-end funds are rather boring if you do them right. They're singles and doubles. It's how do you gain exposure with and cash flow in ways that you can't from an ETF, open-end fund, or regular security.
Well, now we're going to see whether or not my audience is hitting those singles and doubles and doing it right in closed-end funds, because it's time for Hold It or Fold It.
Play Hold It.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or Fold It.
Know when to fold up.
My guest right now is John Cole Scott. He is the Chief Investment Officer at Closed End Fund Advisors. And if you want more information, it is cefadvisors.com. Of course, Hold It or Fold It is where we put our guests to your test. To participate directly, we need your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you are interested in. Send it to chuck@moneylifeshow.com. We'll add it to our list, and hopefully it'll make an interview soon. John, we're going to start with a request we got from Matthew in Clearwater, Florida. He wants to know about the Nuveen Build America Bond Fund. That's NBB.
Absolutely. This fund is one of our favorites in a space that only has four constituents. But philosophically, it's about an 8 discount, not too expensive to itself, a taxable 7% yield, but the manager only has to blend 5 because of discounts and the leverage it does have. It's showing earnings coverage over 100%, which we focus on heavily, has a small uni balance, or that balance sheet item that we care about. And here's what's really neat. It's a recently reported balance sheet item from February 28th versus some data we look at is from the fall, which we think is very, very stale. And on top of that, with being a little cheap, good yield, good coverage, it's got both a 6-month and a 1-year net asset value performance better than its 4 peer average. And the icing on the cake is this thing's going to liquidate, I think, in 2022 at net asset value. So yeah, you have to hold it that long, but you don't have to worry about the discount if you choose to hold it that long.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah, that's a buy on Nuveen Build America Bond, NBB. Gordon in Downey, California wants to know about the Allianz GI Convertible and Income Fund, NCV.
Okay, this is a little bit different direction. You actually have to pay 8% over net asset value to buy that fund. It trades rather expensive to itself, so about 11% over its peer group, though it has yield of about 10.8%. So a lot of people really like catching the distribution on this fund. The manager has to blend just below 9%, which to me is challenging in a convertible-oriented portfolio on an ongoing basis. They are showing earnings coverage. They have a little bit of return of capital, which can be a delayed technique or could be a stress for a closed-end fund. And you do have to remember, just about 3 years ago, they cut their distribution 48%. So that's definitely not a small change board. That's a board that waits too long. And then the data they have is actually from Thanksgiving time period. So to me, it's stale. They only update it semi-annually. But it has really good net asset value performance. So when I look at it, you know, it's like if you've been in it, you've collected distribution, it's grown, but the fringe risks to me are just too big. It was trading at a 2-3 premium last year. Now it's above an 8. I just could see 5% being trimmed very quickly, which is, you know, half a year's dividend. And this is generally for retired folks. So again, seems like they're doing good work. I think they should be more mindful of their distribution policy because I think it's going to have to change at some point.
Whoa, dumber than advertised.
That was a sell, a soft sell. It was sort of almost a hold it if you got it, but you certainly don't want to buy more.
Swap it if you got it.
Yeah, okay, swap it if you got it. On Allianz GI Convertible and Income Fund, NCV. Brandon in Shawnee Mission, Kansas wants to know about Gabelli Equity Trust, GAB.
Another one of your listeners wants to hear about what was an 8% premium fund, an equity fund run by the Gabelli family, very known to do return of capital and high dividends to reduce or create premiums as a fund family. The yield's 8.5. The performance has been very, very good, but we were at a discount or just below net asset value last November. It's peaked at a 12 premium, now at an 8. And when I was thinking about this fund, you know, it could easily lose 5% with what's going on. And I believe I saw in the news this week that they have a shelf offering to raise capital. which will typically slap it down to a 2 or 3 premium at the least. So I think if you could beat that news item, you'll be in good shape.
Oh, it just gets worse and worse.
That's a sell on Gabelli Equity Trust, GAB. Graham in Norwalk, Connecticut, wants to know about Source Capital, S-O-R.
Source Capital is another one of those just classic close-end funds, in some ways plain vanilla, but it's at an 11 discount, which is about 2% wider than like a 90-day average, which is a nice cheap metric. It's almost 2 standard deviations below its one-year average. So that just tells you market price to NAV, it's cheap. Its yield is so low in the closed-end fund space at 4.9%. It actually puts in the bottom 10th percentile of closed-end fund yields. But what we really love is its net asset value performance on a 6-month basis is up about 1.5%. On a 1-year basis, up almost 4%. And it's got only 35 holdings. It's a micro-cap fund. You have to want to be there. But to get $0.89 for what's proven to be historically a well-managed portfolio, I think you're getting good performance at cheap entry point.
Oh, that's beautiful. We could make a fortune.
That's a buy on Source Capital. Brady in Fort Wayne, Indiana, wants to know about Tortoise North American Energy, TYN.
Tortoise is one of the leaders in the MLP sector. It's about a 6 discount. The whole sector has been beaten up. It has been too. It's got a lower yield at 5.6%. It's got a trade value of just under $500,000 a day, which is on the lower end of what we like to look at. But here's what I was talking about. Its net asset value is trading almost at its one-year high. Its market price is trading around the 40th percentile between its high and low. And its net asset value return is in line with peer funds. And the other really cool thing is it has a deferred tax liability of about $3 per share that's been building. And we argue to add a third of that back in. And if you did, you have a 13 discount. Good manager, 13 discount, reasonable yield, and good performance. It's a great opportunity to make a play in the energy sector.
So that was a buy on Tortoise North American Energy, ticker symbol TYN.
I've got the power!
Yeah, you've got the power with a North American Energy Fund. Although, again, if you're a closed-end fund investor, you heard sort of the educated upper-level class from John Cole Scott on that particular fund. And if you want more information on that fund or anything that John Cole Scott is doing, check out Closed End Fund Advisors, because John Cole Scott is Chief Investment Officer for Closed End Fund Advisors in Richmond, Virginia. John, thanks as always for joining me on Money Life. I hope we'll get a chance again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Hey, there's just a little bit more to go on the April 16th edition of Money Life. Let's cross the finish line together right after this message.